Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new Survivor 48 podcast from the channel Survivor Fan. I'm your host, Will, aka Survivor Fan, and I am so excited to be able to share this podcast with everybody. This is something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. If you've been following my channel for the last decade, you'll know that mostly what I post on the channel is just clips straight from Survivor, but I've always wanted to shift into doing more of a direct content for all of the great Survivor fans out there. And I want to build a great community for those fans, the Survivor fam community. And so we are trying this out, starting a new podcast, and I'm joined by two of my great friends, Andrew and Ollie. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you? I'm so excited.
Awesome. Well, for those who don't know me, which is probably most people watching, I am the man behind the curtain. I've been running the Survivor Fan podcast for the last decade, as I mentioned. And just a little bit about me. I work in corporate sales. I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I've been a fan of Survivor since 2014, so about 11 years. And I started the Survivor Fan channel shortly after that. Survivor Worlds Apart was the first season that I ever watched live. I would say my favorite season of Survivor is either Survivor Pearl Islands because the queen stays queen, or Survivor David versus Goliath just because it's such an exciting season. And I'll pass it over to Ollie to go ahead and introduce himself.
Hi everyone, I'm Ollie. I've been watching Survivor since 35, Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. And ever since I've just gone back, seen all the seasons. I'm a huge fan. My favorite seasons are either of the Blood versus Water. I just love the dynamic between families playing together. Since I watch it with my mom, it's just like so cool to see how other people interact with their family and share their love for Survivor. And I'm super excited to share my thoughts about the show, and I'll pass it over to Andrew.
Hi guys, I'm Andrew. I'm from Tallahassee, Florida. I go to FSU as a student right now studying psychology. And I've been a big fan of Survivor since about season 30 or so. I actually am part of the Survivor FSU club at my school, so shout out to them. That's where I got this cool little buff here, Seminoles, go Seminoles. And yeah, I'm so excited to be on here to share my love of Survivor with you guys.
Great. And we are super excited about this podcast. This is our first time ever doing a podcast, and none of us really know what we're doing. And so it is going to be a little bit, you know, we're trying to figure it out. It's going to be a learning curve to start. So hopefully you guys are willing to join us on this ride. We did create a Discord server, which we're going to link in the description. So please go ahead and join that Discord server with the link. And we would love to have you as part of the Survivor fam community. We are planning some really fun stuff, potentially doing some buff giveaways, Survivor trivia nights, or even possibly a Survivor ORG online reality game. Which is actually how the three of us met, was through playing an online reality game. So they can be really fun and a lot of chaos. And so we really hope that you join our Discord server as we try to build this community up and just put our thoughts out there and take some questions from you guys, take some feedback. We're very open to anything you guys have to say, any criticism, any positive comments. So we hope to see you there. So let's go ahead and jump into our thoughts on the episode. So I have to say, I loved the way that they started the episode. I thought it was really cool that they started with Mitch getting his phone call from, I guess, the Survivor producers telling him he was going to be on the show. And then we saw a lot of other people getting told that they would be on Survivor. And that was a pretty unique way of doing that. I don't think I've ever seen them open the show or really let us into people's thoughts on, you know, what they were thinking when they got cast for Survivor. And I really thought that it was a great way to just kind of get us invested into their emotions and how they might play the game. And we saw a lot of emotion, especially from Joe, who just was like beside himself, his head in his hands. So What did you guys think of the way they opened the show and just the marooning overall?
Yeah, I think like the main theme of the episode was just emotions and like people interacting with their love of Survivor and like seeing how people on the tribes interact in an emotional way. Yeah, I loved the opening. I thought it was a great way to really connect to the players as people and like that we're all just fans at heart, and like watching each other play is just amazing. And I was just thinking like how excited I would be if I was out there too. So I loved it for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Like imagine being there on the actual island. You've been cast on the season. Like I can't even imagine how I would react in the moment. Or I guess on the phone calls too, when they were told that they got put on the season, I don't even know how I'd act because, you know, it's such a dream come true for these people.
Yeah, for sure. And it was really interesting to me that Jeff kind of set kind of what he saw as the theme of the season, which was that everybody had taken a chance to come out there. Everybody had answered the call to action. And yes, they might be scared. You might go out there. You might have a really bad start to the game, like we saw with Andy last season. But everybody chose to answer the call, and he challenged them, like, are you going to show up or are you going to get voted out? And even if you try to do something, you might fail, but at least you tried. And I think, you know, those are good life lessons to take in a lot of different parts of your life, but especially on Survivor. I think that theme is going to carry forward, and we're going to see the people who actually do answer the call of Survivor to be the ones that have the most success. So yeah, I really liked that whole opening scene and just with Jeff talking to all the contestants and getting to know them a little bit better. So I'm going to go ahead and pop up a list of the cast just so that everybody can see their faces and names. And we're going to go ahead and talk about each tribe. We'll try to stay structured within one tribe at a time. I know the episode jumps all over the place, and we're going to try to not jump too much all over the place, but we'll just see where the conversation goes. So I guess let's go ahead and start with the Purple Tribe, who won the marooning challenge to get the flint and the pot. Or maybe it wasn't the flint. Maybe it was the machete and the pot. But either way, they got the camp supplies. They're off to a great start. It seemed like they had a lot of cohesion. I really liked this group. This is definitely the standout tribe for me. But what did you guys think of the Purple Tribe, which I think is called Loggy?
Yeah, I was thinking the same exact thing as you, honestly. This was my favorite tribe. You said the Loggy Tribe? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my favorite tribe of the episode by far. I thought there were some major characters from this tribe. I really liked Eva. I liked Joe. I liked Shaheen. I liked Thomas. I even like Bianca a lot. I didn't get to see much of Star, but other than the idol thing that happened between her, but I really do like this tribe, and I hope that they don't even go to tribal because I want to see them all go far.
Yeah, I think this is definitely like the top dog tribe. So I don't know if I would say favorite since I tend to root for underdogs, but I think they're strong overall personalities, physical strength. I think they have like the whole package as a tribe. And if they do go to tribal, I think it'll be really interesting to watch how all those personalities just clash. But
yeah, I agree. I think it's hard to say who would be the one to be voted out from this tribe. From what we saw in the episode, it seemed like Star had kind of gone off on her own to look for the idol, and they kind of made it seem like that was a reason that she was being targeted. But I think we saw a lot of the ways that the social bonds that everybody had with each other kind of meshed together. And it seemed more like Star was left out of the major group rather than she really did anything wrong. Because we saw that Eva and Joe formed a very tight connection that was almost father-daughter. And I definitely want to talk about that. But then we also saw Thomas making a bond with Bianca. That was one of the first alliances we saw in this tribe. They seem to have a really good back and forth with each other. And we also saw the California girls with Joe, Shaheen, and Thomas, which I thought was hilarious. And I think we have our own California girls here. Not sure who is who, but it was definitely a really fun alliance to see come together and see these guys not take too much seriously. Thomas, I thought, was really funny, saying he never thought he would be hanging out with two straight guys like that and being in an all men's alliance so quickly. So I thought that was really fun to watch. And it's hard to say who would go home, because I think Joe is really split between that California Girls Alliance and his relationship with Eva, which seems extremely tight. So what did you guys think of the California Girls Alliance, as well as, you know, what we saw between Joe and Eva?
I love the California Girls Alliance. I, not to like highlight too much on one player, but I do think Joe so far is playing a great game, at least socially, and setting himself up like really well. They had that conversation, the three of them, of bringing in Bianca versus Eva, and Thomas suggested Bianca because of his close relationship with her. And I think Joe's playing it smarter, because although Eva not or might not be included in the alliance, he has that close relationship in his back pocket, and maybe making it a little less obvious of a relationship than Thomas and Bianca. But I don't know. I think...
No, I agree. That's a really good point, that Thomas was definitely pushing to bring Bianca into the four. And I think that that's kind of showing his cards a little bit. Whereas with Joe, he didn't necessarily push to include Eva in that group of four. But we obviously saw that he has an extremely tight bond with her, to the point where he's already saying he's willing to lose the game if it helps Eva in the long term. And I thought the way that Eva went about disclosing the fact that she's on the autism spectrum was really interesting. We've never seen anything like that on Survivor. I think Eva is the first person on Survivor to be openly talking about the fact that she's autistic. And I thought it was great. She seemed to be very aware of the types of disadvantages she might have because of that, where she doesn't pick up on social cues quite as well, where she might have these episodes, as she called them, where she's kind of shaking and just overstimulated. So I think the fact that she is not necessarily like hiding it or trying to like be deceitful with her tribe, but more so just letting herself talk about it naturally, and also in doing so, building really strong alliances with Joe, where, you know, instead of just coming into the tribe saying, hey, this is, you know, I'm autistic and you know, this is my struggle, where she feared that might be used against her. She was able to build this tight alliance with Joe because she came to him in this really personal, vulnerable moment and shared something very intimate about herself. So I definitely think that we're going to see a lot more of these two. I'm really excited about this relationship. It's really fun, you know, dynamic to watch, and I'm interested to see how it's going to play out. Andy, did you have any thoughts on this relationship or on this tribe as a whole?
Yeah, I was going to actually mention, I thought we had such a good introduction to Eva in this episode. You know, usually in the beginning episodes, there's so many players, so they don't get a lot of screen time, but I feel like they gave a lot of screen time to telling her story and obviously connecting with Joe.
Yeah, they gave a lot of time to Eva in the edit to really show us who she is, everything about her, the fact that she's worked in a lot of male-dominated fields, that she was the only female hockey player on her team, and the fact that she's autistic, and how for a lot of people, they would have seen that as kind of a death sentence and not really wanted to, you know, just tackle life at full force. But for her, and with the help of her parents, it seemed like she really was not wanting to let that stop her. So just a really heartwarming story, and just seeing her and Joe bond and how seriously he took that moment. Like, it brought tears to my eyes, I have to be honest, because it was so touching. Like, I really loved that. I love these two, and I'm super excited to see where they go from here. I did want to circle back as well to Star and how she was looking for the idol. I think Star is super fun, and I'm excited to see a lot more of her. But I think it's really interesting to contrast kind of the way that Star had gone out to look for the idol versus how Say had gone out to look for the idol on the Green Tribe. which I think is called Vula. Because with Star, it seemed like she kind of went off on her own. She didn't find anything from what we saw, but it really seemed to put her as kind of separate from the tribe. Whereas with Say, and we can kind of jump into the Green Tribe now if we want to, Say obviously was causing a lot of chaos in this episode and doing a lot, which I thought was super fun. But we saw her find the idol, and it was a lot through the help of her allies. So we kind of saw her start by trying to build a bond with Stephanie and Mary, and they seemed a little hesitant. And Stephanie herself even said in confessional she was kind of sitting on her hands and not wanting to do too much strategizing. Whereas Say was very fast to start building alliances with the other members of her tribe. And then when she found the canister with the beware advantage and realized, like, oh crap, I don't have my vote, she went and brought in Justin and Kevin and Cedric to really solidify that group. And I think it was Cedric who said, like, her doing that really, like, ensured her spot in the alliance, which we saw play out at Tribal Council. Did you guys have any thoughts on the Green Tribe as a whole?
Yeah, so I was worried for Say, you know, coming into the game so strong, wanting to play like the second you get onto the beach. We've seen it gone wrong in the past with people trying to play the game too quick and get voted out early. But I think, like you said, the theme of this season is like taking the game into your own hands. And I don't know if we're going to talk about Tribal yet, but I think Say taking the game into her own hands worked in her favor, with the idol hunt, with making the alliance. She set herself up really well for Tribal. And I don't know, I don't want to talk too much about Tribal, so I'll just say, talk about the idol hunt. I think it was very smart. It seemed like a group effort. They were all, and you know what? She had self-doubt about being able to solve the puzzle on herself. So maybe she needed to bring in allies to help her get it for her advantage. I think she said
cryptograms were not her thing.
Math was not her thing. Like,
I was like, girl, I don't know. I don't think there's a lot of math involved here. It really seemed like it was just related to the animals that were painted around the camp. So
yeah,
I did think that was funny that she was like catastrophizing that this was going to be impossible to solve. And then it just clicked once she kind of talked it through with her allies.
Yeah, I think everyone played their own part in finding that idol, which is great because, you know, that sort of thing bonds people. That's probably why they chose to stick with Say in the end, is because of bonding moments like that. But go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I think she did extremely well at using the idol hunt to solidify alliances with Cedric, Justin, and Kevin. I did not think she was going to even make it past this episode, to be honest. Like, when she first started trying to make the alliances with the girls, and they're like, no, thank you. And then she went up to the guys and said the same thing. I thought they were going to like compare notes and think, oh, she's going crazy right now. But for whatever reason, she had an excellent episode, which I was very surprised by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there were a few moments I was a little scared that she was doing too much. And I was like, this might turn some people off, but it really seemed to work for her. She basically just grabbed the tribe by the horns and said, no, you guys are going to be in alliance with me, whether you like it or not. And we did hear some concerns from some of the other people. I think Kevin and Justin had briefly discussed targeting her because she had the idol. But I think when you know who has the idol and when you can trust them for the time being, I think it's smarter to kind of keep that closer to you, like the idea of keeping your enemies, or what's the phrase? Keep your friends close, but your enemies closer. So it did seem surprising that Kevin didn't tell Mary. I thought maybe he would loop her into the vote like right before Tribal, because we did see them make a very strong bond as soon as he came back from the journey. But ultimately, Mary was blindsided at Tribal. Yeah, we can circle back to Tribal in a little bit. I don't want to get too deep into that. But I did really like the chaos that the Green Tribe was bringing, and I wouldn't be surprised to see them back at another tribal council in the near future. Any other thoughts or comments on anybody from the Green Tribe?
I mean, I'll just jump off of what you said. Mary and Kevin's relationship. I think this whole season, or at least that's what they show this episode, is those one-on-one relationships are going to play such a key part in what people, I guess, choose to stick with. We saw that with Joe and Eva, Thomas, Bianca, even Kyle and Camilla on the Orange Tribe. So I don't know if Mary's game is done. I think there's still a lot more to be said about it. But yeah, no, we can move on to Orange Tribe.
Yeah, well, I was thinking, if this tribe did go back to tribal, how do you think it would play out? Who do you think would be voted out from this group?
I honestly think that they might take a shot at Say, even though she has the idol. I think they might try to blindside her with it in her pocket. I can definitely see that happening. Otherwise, it kind of looks like Mary's in trouble. So I'm assuming either way, if they go back to tribal, it's going to be between those two. That's what I see, at least.
I agree for sure. It's going to be between Mary and Say, but don't discount Mother Mary. You know, she can come back from this. And yeah, so.
Yeah.
I can totally see Mary and Kevin repairing the relationship too. Like, Mary's going to need allies, so she's going to.
She doesn't really have a choice. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Very interesting group of people for sure. I wasn't sure how they would mesh together before the season started. And I think we're seeing some of the chaos already. So I guess it's because there's three Libras on this tribe, which I'm a Libra as well. So I get it. let's jump into the Orange Tribe, the Siva Tribe. Did anybody have any thoughts on this tribe? I do think this tribe was a little bit more low-key than some of the others, but we did get a lot of time with them as well. So any thoughts on this group of people?
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, what happened on this tribe? Because they got the least screen time out of the other two, I think. But I think David's kind of like the kingpin right now. They all see him as the person doing the most for the tribe. You know, he's the big buff guy, you know. I think he's Chrissy
doing pull-ups on the branch just to show off how strong he was.
That was so funny. But yeah, and then I think Chrissy is such a funny character. I think she'll be really fun to watch this season. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I'm definitely interested in seeing. Sorry, go ahead.
Didn't Camila, like, try to form an alliance with someone? Who was that with? Was it Kyle?
Yeah, we saw Kyle and Camila bonding quite a bit. It seemed like they both happened to have the same taste in movies. They both loved the movie Holes and the movie The Departed. I hate to say I've seen neither of these movies, but I thought that was so funny that they just seemed to really hit it off and have so much in common. They were both, what was it, half Guyanese, I think, as well. And I think there was something else that they had in common as well. I can't remember.
They kept listing so many similarities. I was thinking they were making it up at some point.
I know. I'm like, is she just like mirroring everything that he's saying or vice versa? Like, it's crazy how similar that they were. And we did also see Camila form an alliance with everybody else on the tribe outside of Charity. Who seems to be on the outs of this tribe. It was definitely giving Venus from a few seasons ago, where she was just kind of ostracized. I don't know if Charity's been rubbing people the wrong way as much as Venus might have been. It seemed like the only thing she really did wrong was, for one thing, she said she cooks her steak medium well, which for David, that was the mark of a psychotic person. It seemed like she really just happened to leak a little bit too much info that to the wrong person when she said she was a little concerned that Kyle maybe could be somebody that has an advantage of some kind. And Camila, as we saw, she just took that information and ran it back to Kyle and the rest of the tribe and just ran Charity over back and forth with the bus that she was driving. So it'll be interesting to see if Charity could maybe find the idol or do something to get out of this position. I don't think she's dead in the water just yet. I think maybe they want us to feel like she will be and she'll have kind of a comeback story. But as of right now, it does seem like she is outnumbered on this tribe.
Yeah, I think although we didn't see too much from this tribe as a whole, I think we got great character moments from many people on this tribe. Mitch and Chrissy both had their moments at the marooning. And then we saw a great moment from Kyle at the Earn Your Supplies thing against Kevin, where he ended up helping Kevin after he was disqualified from the challenge. I thought that was a great character moment for him.
Yeah. And sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but let's circle back to that as well. Let's circle back to, because we didn't talk about that before, where after the marooning, when the Purple Tribe won, we saw the other two tribes have to send somebody on a journey, which was very similar to what we saw last season. And it is somewhat similar to what they've been doing in the new era with the sweat versus savvy type of tasks. But I guess what they've landed on with these last two seasons is just immediately sending somebody off on a journey on the two losing tribes. And they had to compete to win their tribe supplies. I thought it was interesting that they chose Kevin to go from the green tribe because it seemed like he had injured his shoulder. So you would think he would want to send somebody a little bit stronger to get the tribe supplies, but he did pull it out in the end, whether or not it's because Kyle broke his jar. But yeah, I just thought it was some interesting choices, and we definitely got to learn a lot about these two on the journey. What did you guys think about the choices and what happened on the journey?
I mean, it was an interesting choice, but I mean, it did work. He did win the challenge. And he was very public about like hurting his shoulder when it happened too. He was like, I don't want to say yelling, but he was pretty loud
my
about
shoulder.
It.
Yeah,
he was like, my shoulder.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised why they would even want to put him up for the challenge, but you know, he did pull through for them.
Yeah.
We have seen a lot of shoulder related injuries in the new era. There was that guy, was it Daniel from 42, Daniel, who dislocated his shoulder in the opening challenge. And then Matthew from 44, who injured it. Now that was falling off the rocks, so maybe a little bit different. But I do hope that this doesn't, you know, hurt Kevin down the line or become something a lot worse.
Imagine going on to Survivor and then just instantly hurting your shoulder. Imagine how terrible that would be.
Yeah. And Bruce hit his head in the opening challenge and had to leave the game. And I guess there's just so much energy at the start of these seasons that, you know, people just kind of lose control of their bodies in some way.
Yeah. From what I've seen online, Kevin's injury was actually more extreme than it was edited on the episode. And I think they also showed in the preview, Jeff, at the opening challenge saying like, stop, medical, you know how he does.
Yeah.
But that wasn't in the edit of the episode. So,
yeah, that's a great catch. Yes. At the end of last season, when they premiered the promotional video for this season, they did show a moment where Jeff said, stop. And we didn't see that. I was kind of waiting for that to happen. But yeah, I guess they decided maybe it wasn't as important long term, so they decided to cut it out.
Are you sure it was for this challenge and not for another one?
I'm pretty sure, but
I think it was because they were covered in mud, if I remember right.
Yeah,
I'd have to go back and watch it again, but I do feel like I remember seeing that scene at the end of last season and trying to figure out, okay, wait, who was it? Like, it looks like, or at least like, which tribe was it that somebody got injured? Just trying to figure it out. They were all covered in mud and everything. So it was hard to tell. I don't know if there's maybe going to be another medical scare or if that was it. Hopefully that was it, because it's never fun to see the medical scares.
Never. But yeah, I thought maybe they didn't include it because the injury overall wasn't such a big factor in them choosing Kevin. They just had confidence in Kevin for whatever reason to bring it home for them. And he did. And he ended up playing, I think they showed like play or work smarter, not harder type of thing. Like he was thinking through all the little mini tasks in the challenge versus Kyle, you know, trying to chop the wood down and it broke, breaking his jar. So I think it shows more about how Kevin's going to play this game, more like thinking before doing, and maybe how Kyle could play the game, which is doing before thinking.
But yeah, that's a great point too, because yes, we did see Kevin was the first one to realize he needed to use the machete to chop open the coconut and get the key that unlocks it. And then he also tried to control the stream of water going into his jug a little bit better to fill it up. Whereas with Kyle, it was like, he was kind of just running all over the place, running back and forth the rope. He just used brute force to knock over the bamboo, which I did think was impressive in his own way. Maybe Kyle will be a big challenge threat later on. But then, you know, his brute force ultimately cost him the challenge because he broke the jar. So very interesting to see these two guys. And I did think it was very nice of him to, at that point, go ahead and just help Kevin finish the challenge, because might as well gain an ally out of the situation if you're not going to go back to your tribe with supplies.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we can like wrap up the Orange Tribe, and maybe we have some exciting things to do for the remainder of the podcast.
Yes. Well, I do want to touch on the Immunity Challenge and Tribal Council if we are done talking about the tribes. So the Immunity Challenge I thought was pretty good. It didn't necessarily stand out in any particular way to me, but it was very fun to watch. Did you guys have any thoughts on the Immunity Challenge?
It was just the classic physical, then puzzle at the end. I liked it. I mean, I liked Green's comebacks and then fall at the end. So it was intense to watch, but I don't have much to say about the challenge overall.
Other than that, it wasn't anything too special.
Yeah, but I did actually see on Twitter, and I wish I had like the clip to pull up, but I saw somebody posted that there was a brief moment as Green was lifting the cart over the sandbags that Jeff was running, I guess, to narrate part of the challenge. And he totally face planted in the sand, and it was hard to see because it was behind the tribe. But when you saw the clip, it was like undeniable, and I just cracked up. I'm like, well, first of all, I hope Jeff is okay, but second of all, I wish they had shown that more clearly in the episode, because it was so funny, and that's so different from what we expect from Jeff. He's so polished all the time that to see him face plant was just so hilariously unexpected.
I totally missed that. I did not even notice. I didn't even know that happened.
I'll have to send you the clip. It was so funny. Okay. Yeah, definitely check that out on Twitter if you can. Yeah, okay. And then we can jump into the Tribal Council as well. It was a little bit straightforward. I definitely I predicted that Stephanie would be the one voted out. It definitely, she was giving me that vibe when she was talking about sitting on her hands immediately after Jeff had just said, like, answer the call to action. It's like, okay, if you're going to sit on your hands, you're not really doing the theme of the season that Jeff has laid forth. Now, obviously, that's not like the specific reason she was voted out, but it just seemed like she had her head in the stars, I guess, as Say would say, and just didn't really jump into the game. Like what we've seen as the strategy from the past few seasons in the new era is like, you have to hit the ground running. You have to start building alliances. And that's why I was worried at first for Kyle and Kevin, because they did go on the journey so quick. And we saw that be a big negative to TK and Asia last season when they were the ones on the journey and then immediately voted out from their tribes. They weren't there to form those strong connections with the tribe right at the start. So I think Stephanie like just fell into the trap of wanting to experience Survivor, but just forgot that she has to actually play the game and make commitments to people in order to move forward in the game. And the rest of the tribe just didn't think that she was really valuable to their games. What did you guys think of Stephanie and everything leading up to Tribal Council?
I really like the dynamic of the tribal, because in the end, it ended up being between Say and Stephanie, and I felt like they were on two different sides of the spectrum. You had Say, who was like so over the top, like so extra, and she was doing so much. And then at the beginning of the episode, Stephanie, she had a confessional where she was like, I'm going to try to stay back. I'm going to try not to do that much. I don't want to do anything super crazy. And in the end, what happened is Say took the game in her own hands. Like we've been saying, that's a common theme here. And Stephanie ended up going home because she did not do enough.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I would say preseason, I wasn't expecting Stephanie to be a first boo. I thought she was going to be one of the bigger characters, but I guess you can't really know based on the preview. What it doesn't show too much.
It's so hard to predict.
Yeah, but based on the edit going into tribal, I knew it was going to be Stephanie over Say, although I didn't expect her to play the shot in the dark. So I was surprised by that, but
let's talk about that decision, because obviously that was the right choice. She did get the majority of the votes, so it was smart of her to play the shot in the dark. It did seem like she kind of picked up on that at Tribal Council. I think going into Tribal Council, especially considering Mary also stuck with the plan to vote for Say, I don't think Stephanie was really worried necessarily. We saw her say famous last survivor words, everything's very straightforward. So, you know, maybe she had some premonition of what might happen. But ultimately, it seemed like the way that Say was acting at Tribal is what prompted her to ultimately play the shot in the dark. Did you guys think Say was maybe doing too much with what she was saying? Because it did seem like she was coming out very strongly against Stephanie. And it might not be the smartest choice, whether or not you have an idol, to say too much and get your target to play the shot in the dark.
Yeah, actually, when they were talking and Say kept going after Stephanie, and Stephanie like retaliated and gave her thoughts on the situation, the camera actually like panned on Justin and Kevin, and you could see them agreeing with Stephanie. So for a second, I was like, wait, are they actually siding with Stephanie here? But I think Say was definitely way over the top there, and it might cost her in future episodes if she continues down like that.
Yeah. She said she told her grandma she was going to give him hell, and that's what she was doing. That is definitely what she was doing with this tribe. But I agree that it did kind of seem like the rest of the tribe was not super comfortable with the way that she was kind of just overdoing things at Tribal Council. And I think it's a little scary if you're playing Survivor and you have an ally that just, you can't necessarily predict what they're going to do, especially at Tribal Council. Like, you want allies that are going to keep a level head, that aren't going to give away information about a blind side. And Say was just kind of running her mouth way too much, criticizing Stephanie and just snapping at her. So while I loved it, I do think that it might come back to bite Say. And I could totally see in the next episode or in two episodes, if this tribe is back at Tribal Council, Mary getting back in with Kevin and the boys and ultimately getting Say out and her being too overconfident to play the idol. But you never know. Maybe she'll play the idol and take out Cedric or Kevin. Like, you never know. But it'll be interesting to see where Say goes from here.
Yeah. I honestly think the idol is the only reason she was not the first boot. Like,
maybe so. Maybe.
I don't think we've seen such a tense, heated first tribal in a while, and maybe it was the most tense tribal of the new era. It was such a clear one-on-one, and I think Stephanie, like, or 1v1, and Stephanie picked up on that and probably led to her playing the shot in the dark, where it, like other tribals, maybe it wouldn't be as clear, but it was going back and forth, and maybe it got a bit personal at times, a little too snappy. But I think it was I think that's why Stephanie ended up playing her shot in the dark, was based on how that tribal went.
Yeah, I think she was like suspicious going in, but I think it was the tribal that like confirmed it for her. To play the shot in the dark.
Yeah, well, ultimately we have to say bye-bye to Stephanie. And as she said, it's got to be somebody that's voted out first. Seemed like she took it pretty well. So sad to see her go, but very interested in seeing Say playing the game from here on out. So, yeah, I did think it was a fun tribal and a good start to the season. But hopefully things will pick up a little bit more going into next week as well. Any other thoughts on the episode as a whole? Any other funny moments that stuck out to you or anything else to mention?
I'm sad to see Stephanie go. I was definitely rooting for her preseason. She seemed like maybe like a Kendra or someone like astrological. I don't know. I like those people. I like bringing it, making it like fun like that in the game. But yeah, it's sad to see her go. I think she could have been a good character, but she played it safe. And that is the theme. That is a mistake in season 48. Don't play it safe.
Yeah, don't play it safe. Just go out guns blazing. Yeah.
All right. The only other thing I can think about or think of that we haven't touched on was the idol hunts, because they were different for each of the tribes.
Yeah, that's a good point. You guys noticed that. It seemed like each tribe had somewhat similar but also different idol hunts, where we saw the green tribe where Say got the idol. There was big painted colored animals, and then the note that she found had colored numbers that referred to whichever letter was for that animal, and then you had to unscramble the letters. On the orange tribe, we saw Mitch and David find one of the animals and like a string tied around the branch. And then they started seeing other animals, other strings. They brought the whole tribe into it. And Charity even had a moment where she said she thought it might have been better to keep it more discreet if she had found it. So it seemed like the whole tribe had found the letters, but nobody had found what I assume is a canister hidden as a beware advantage on their tribe as well. So I don't know exactly how that would work. It seems like there should still be kind of a puzzle element to it, rather than just unscrambling the letters, but maybe they didn't want to be, you know, copy and paste on each tribe, so they kind of changed it up. I'll be interested just to see just how it varies within each tribe.
I assume it's just going to be like another puzzle. Maybe it's not going to be letters. Maybe it'll be numbers that they have to figure out or something like that. But yeah, maybe. I don't think it would be anything too crazy different. Just a different puzzle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They all seem to have the animal symbols, whether it was the colored animals, the just black image animals, or I think on the purple tribe, there was like a disc with an animal symbol like stuck on a tree. So it seems like the animals are a common theme and the letters, and maybe it'll just be a little bit of a different puzzle within each tribe. And I did see an interesting thought online. I wish I had written it down to credit whoever had said it. I don't remember if it was Twitter or maybe Reddit, but I had been wondering, you know, the answer to the word was listen. And that seemed kind of a strange word to pick, but apparently that word has several other anagrams as part of it. And so maybe they were trying to make it even more difficult, where the letters that you have can spell a variety of different words. And so you had to really think through all the different options. And it wasn't something that was just necessarily related to Survivor, because they don't want the contestant to just be able to guess like, oh, it's immunity or it's idol or, you know, whatever the word would be related to Survivor. So I did think that was interesting.
That is a good point. We did see Cedric like spell the letters out in the sand, and he instantly was like, oh, it's listen. But I mean, that's just the edit. It could have been
right. Maybe they thought
guessing words over and over until they got it.
Yeah, well, I did think it was very fun, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here. Okay, I guess that about wraps it up for our discussion of the episode. Now let's get into our draft for this season. So what we're going to do is a snake draft. We're going to start with one of us at random. And we're each going to get 5 members of the draft. So obviously we're not going to draft Stephanie. And there will be 2 people left over, which means you, the audience, will be able to have those 2 players. So we don't know yet what the prize will be for winning. I guess that's TBD, open to suggestions. But we just thought it might be fun to be able to pick our teams after seeing the first episode and seeing how people are playing, and just try to have people that we are rooting for this season. So Ollie, I will pass it to you. I think you have the spreadsheet.
Let me share the screen. I think I'm sharing it. There we go. Oh, well, I didn't write Stephanie, I thought I did. So to randomize who goes first, I was gonna do a wheel. I could just do like Siri pick a number 1 to 3 and we could just be 1, 2, 3 and make it quick.
Yeah, that works.
Okay. Pick a number 1, 2, 3. 3. So Andrew, and then we can do
Andrew, Ollie, and then me. And then it'll be me, Ollie, Andrew. We'll snake it from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pick someone from Purple Tribe. I'm going to pick Joe. I'm picking Joe because he had an excellent showing in this episode. He had a big alliance with the boys, the California girls, and then obviously that moment with Eva. I think he's really set up well.
Great pick.
Great choice. Great first pick. Great choice. That would have been my
I'm sorry if I stole your pick.
I am also going to pick someone from Purple, and it's going to be Shaheen. I think he's a very good candidate for a winner as far as intelligent, social skills, physical.
Very confident.
Confident, yeah, has a great edit. Presence. So I have faith in Shaheen.
All right. Well, I'm going to stick with this Purple Tribe. You know, it's hard to pick anybody else because this tribe really just popped off the screen for me. But I have to go with Eva. She's amazing. I'm surprised neither of you had picked her, although Joe and Shaheen are great choices too. I love Eva. I love everything she was bringing to the episode. I just think she's one of the most incredible people we've seen on Survivor. Maybe that's going a long way, but to have somebody on her tribe saying that they're willing to give up their game for her within the first day or two is like, that's unbelievable to me. So I am so excited to watch Eva this season and just see how she does. And I'm definitely going to be rooting her on the whole time.
Listen, I really wanted Eva. I just thought Joe was...
Can't let you get the pair. Okay, so then I think it'll be me now for the fourth choice. I love the Purple Tribe, but I'm going to move away from them. I'm actually going to go with Mitch. I was maybe sleeping on Mitch a little bit in the preseason, but I think after the first episode, I loved everything that we got from Mitch. He opened the episode with he was the first one that they showed getting the phone call that he was on Survivor. He had a great moment on the mat talking to Jeff where he talked about Survivor Amazon and Christy from that season who was deaf, which is fun to see that reference from so long ago. And I just thought, you know, everybody seemed like they really liked Mitch. Even on the other tribe, people seemed sympathetic towards him. And maybe that is because he has a speech impediment, but if he can, you know, in some way use that disability to gain trust with people, is similar to how Eva, you know, used her disability to build trust with Joe. I think it's something that is a very vulnerable thing about you, but that's really how you build trust with people, is being vulnerable, letting your guard down a little bit and letting them get, you know, inside your head a little bit more. So I think if Mitch can position himself as a very sympathetic character, and he seems to be well-liked on the tribe, I don't see why he couldn't go all the way. So that'll be my choice.
Yes. Great pick. I think Mitch has such a great personality and has potential to make it far just based on that, if nothing else. But we haven't seen so much as like strategy side from him yet. So
that's true.
We don't know that yet. But all right, I am going to pick someone from the Green Tribe, and I think I'm going to pick Kevin. And my reason for that is I don't see a scenario where Kevin gets voted off of Green Tribe ever. Like, I could see cases for everyone else possibly, but not Kevin, unless they do. Oh, maybe they'll do a tribe swap. Imagine.
That would be awesome. I'd love to see a tribe swap.
But yeah, if they stick to these tribes, I don't see a way for him to go. And I think he's very likable. He's maybe he didn't play both sides as well as he could have. Maybe he should have looped Mary in, but I think he has great potential for sure.
I'm mad at you. I was going to pick Kevin myself.
Sorry.
Yeah. Okay. He's just so likable. He's got that big smile. He's like a golden retriever. Did he call himself a golden retriever?
Someone called him a golden retriever.
Somebody called him a golden retriever. Yeah. And I can totally see it. I think it was Say. Like, yeah, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, loved Kevin. I thought he was great. And the fact that he didn't really seem to get any blowback from being the one to go on the journey and immediately got brought into two alliances was great for him. So, good choice.
All right, my turn. So, I didn't want to pick from Purple Tribe again. I was going to pick Kevin, but I'm thinking I'm going to stick with Purple Tribe now and pick Thomas. I think Thomas is really set up on his tribe. He's in the California Girls. He's also in a duo with Bianca. So I think he's just in a really good position. He's kind of like in the same spot as Joe, honestly. So it's fitting that I have Joe and Thomas.
Yeah, I really liked everything we got from Thomas. I thought he was very fun. I think he's going to bring a lot of good, like, funny comments and one-liners to the show. I think my only fear with Thomas is if for some reason, like maybe Star finds an idol, or people suss out that Thomas and Bianca are close and that he's kind of double dipping with the California Girls, although Joe and Eva are doing the same thing. Maybe that would put a target on his back, or maybe Joe obviously is going to be more loyal to Eva, and that might be an opportunity to blindside somebody in the California Girls. So, I don't think that he's necessarily out of danger on this tribe, but I do think that he is in a good position overall. So I do think it's a really good choice.
Yeah, I would say my fear with Thomas is we saw this in the beginning of the episode where he wanted others to introduce themselves first so that he could kind of match the energy of what they're saying, which I think could be a great strategy. But if later on there's inconsistencies between him trying to match people or he forgets something that he said since he's trying to mimic other people's personality, I think those inconsistencies can get the best of him, possibly. And maybe he'll come off as, like, insincere sometimes. But as far as strategic, I think he is at a great standing on the Purple Tribe for sure.
That's a valid assessment. You guys are just telling me why my pick is wrong, but it's okay.
No,
I think it's a great pick. I would have picked Thomas too. I picked him in the draft that I did with my family. So yeah, I think he's great.
All right, well, all right, Andy, it's my turn again, right?
Yep.
Yes.
I did not realize that. Okay. I'm going to go with Justin from Green Tribe.
Okay.
And I say that because, you know, besides Kevin, he was like one of the two that were in the middle of that vote, and they could have, you know, flipped it on to Say if they really wanted to, but they chose not to. But they kind of showed that in the edit of the episode that they were in the middle and they could really make the decision on what happened there.
It's an interesting choice. Yeah, I do think that Justin is very strategic, and I definitely think that he could survive this tribe. I think he's in a great middle spot. I love the hair. The hair is great. I don't know how he got it so silky smooth for the island. I think by the end of this journey, it's going to be a mess. And I loved his pizza analogies as well. I think that's really all we know about him on the show is that he runs a pizza restaurant. But I do remember hearing from the preseason that there is some more to his story. I don't know all the details, but I'm definitely excited to learn more. And I do think that Justin will be around at least up until we hear more about it, more about his story. So I think for the short term, I definitely see Justin sticking around for quite a bit longer.
Yeah, definitely a more under the radar edit from him this episode, but I do think there's more to see from him in the coming episode. So good pick. Unexpected, but good pick. I think I'm going to do an unexpected pick as well. And I'm going to pick Charity.
Okay.
That is unexpected, actually.
How did I know you were going to pick Charity?
Boy, you don't know a thing. I am picking Charity because I think that she is going to come back from whatever edit they tried to give this episode of being in danger. I think they like to, the editors like to play with us like that sometimes and make us think some sort of things. But yeah. I think she has great potential in this game, and I'm not giving up on her yet. So that is why I'm thinking.
Yeah, I really like Charity. I'm excited to see more from her. I agree, if we're reading into the edit, I don't think she'll be the next one to go, just because they never make it that obvious. So I do think that she will be a more important character moving forward. And I do think she has a good head for the game as well. She said she'd been playing Survivor in a metal tube for the past 9 years. So
yeah, I didn't get that analogy.
I didn't really either, but it didn't work for Tiana last season. I can't say it'll necessarily work for her, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It definitely was a bold choice, but I respect it.
Thank you.
Oh. What happened?
I don't know what just happened.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I might do somewhat of an unexpected choice as well, but I'm here for maximum chaos. So give me Say. I want Say on my team. I love her. She is so much fun. I love that she's just attacking the game. I have so much respect for how she's playing the game. It's totally, you know, off the wall. It could totally go wrong in so many ways. She very well could be the next one to go, but I am not ready for that. I want to see her causing more and more chaos as the season goes along. And she even said when she found the idol, it was only her first. So she's already counting on herself to find another idol later on. So I'm here for it. I want to see it, Say, and I want her on my team. So that's my choice.
Well, great character to pick. I don't know. I obviously have my doubts. Just like, I think, you know, the over, I don't want to say over the top, but over the top gameplay this episode worked out in her favor. I'm not sure if it's going to continue that way, especially when it's like a lot of people in the merge, you know. I don't know. But you know what? Props to you. Maybe the chaos will work out all the way to the end. Who knows? She's very strong. She's a very strong player.
Very strong-willed. If she can keep approaching this game with as much brute force as she has already, I think she's all set. So,
absolutely. All right. And I think you have another pick.
Oh, it is back to me. Okay. This is so tough because I really like a lot of the people that are up here. I feel like I know who Ollie's going to pick, but I'm not going to pick this person. I'm going to go with... Okay, I'm here for the characters. I'm here for the people that are going to make me laugh and have a good time. So I'm going to pick Star. And it might be a wild choice as well. She is somewhat on the bottom of the tribe, but again, as with Charity, I think that that's the editors playing with us. I think she's hilarious from everything I saw from the preseason. She reminds me of one of my best friends whose name is actually also Star. So how can I not support her? So, I love her. She's great.
That's two very bold choices in a row. Huh?
Well, that's just how I play.
Well, I like Star. I feel like we didn't get to see enough of Star in the first episode, so Yeah, I hope we see more. I don't have anything bad to say. All right. Well, I don't know if this is who you think I was going to pick. I am going to choose Chrissy, though. I am choosing Chrissy because I think she will be a force to be reckoned with this season. And I think that she has potential to be like a main character this season. Whether that, I know we're supposed to be picking for like win equity, but I think she has a good chance to make it far based on personality. She knows how to like insert herself into groups and make like funny little jokes here and there to really highlight her personality. So I think she's a great, great player. Great potential. I can't say great player yet.
Yeah, that is that is the second time you stole my pick, right? Right before it got
Sorry, Andrew. Oh, wow.
So sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah. She did say she's been watching since season one, so that's pretty cool. Mm. But I don't remember too much from her from the episode. I definitely want to see more from her. But she is from Chicago. Shout out Chicago. So, yeah, love that. Represent.
All right, for my pick, I'm going to pick from a tribe that I haven't picked from yet. I was going to pick Chrissy, but, you know, we have to change things up. I'm going to go with Camila. Sorry. I think she's set up pretty well in the tribe. You know, she had her it looks like it's going to be a duo between her and Kyle. I think they made a four between Kyle, Camila, David, and someone else. You guys remember that?
Was it Chrissy?
Maybe. Chrissy. I think so.
Yeah.
So I think she's really set up in the tribe. So I think she's going to make it pretty far. Yeah. Oh, and I have another one.
Well, I do worry about Camila. You know, she did throw in how she likes to cause trouble for fun, and you know, that doesn't always work out for people's favors. Yeah. And if you're trying to play like a winning game, a smart game, maybe you won't like to cause trouble for fun. Although maybe she's just out here to do that for fun, be a chaos agent, and good for her if she is, but saying things like that gets you in trouble. So
yeah, I think she has great potential to be great TV. I do worry about, I think she's the youngest on the cast. So maybe her age might be a factor, especially since this group seems to skew a little bit older. So I guess time will tell, but she seemed very fun. So good choice.
All right. And for my next pick, I'm going to stay with that tribe. And I'm going to go with David. And this is more of a safe pick. I think he's going to be valued by that tribe. And for that reason, I can see him easily making the merge. I don't know if he makes it very far in the merge. Usually people like him will get targeted earlier on in the merge. Like, oh, this guy's going to be a challenge beast. But, you know, it's more of a safe pick. I think he's going to make it at least to the merge.
I agree. I definitely see him making the merge. I think what it will come down to is ultimately, yes, he has big muscles, but, you know, with last season, Kyle won 4 immunity challenges very quickly. And obviously that put a big target on him as like, well, we have to get him out when he loses because otherwise we might not have a chance. So I think if David comes into the merge and just like starts winning all of the challenges, he's toast. Like, he's not going to win. But I think if he plays it a little bit more like maybe Sam from last season or even Austin from 45 and kind of downplays like his abilities and challenges, like, yes, the muscles are undeniable, but a lot of the individual immunity challenges are like balance and endurance and puzzles. So if he can, you know, I wouldn't want to say he should throw challenges necessarily, but I think if he can just downplay his strength in the individual immunity challenges, he'll have a much better chance of making it a lot further. So I do think it's a good safe pick, though.
Yeah, managing his threat level is definitely going to be the I'd say, most difficult thing for him, because he did say preseason he wants to be the one who wins the most challenges, or to beat the record for most challenges won. So I don't think he's going to throw challenges, but for someone like him, it would be the wise thing to do for sure, with such a target on his back. All right. Well, my last pick. I want to pick, okay, this is not my pick. I want to pick Mary just because of how much I love her and want to root for her.
That's who I thought you picked last time.
I'm worried about her game and the fact that she was left out. But you know what? Never discount Mother Mary. So I will be picking her, and I have, I'll just be crossing my fingers each episode that she's able to rebuild her. She has the ability to, for sure, with she's a very likable, very social person. So I don't think she'll be able to, because I do think it's going to be a feud between her and Say. I would say if she's able to mend that relationship with Say, that she has a great path. But I'm not sure that's going to happen. But
I don't think that's a bad, I don't think that's a bad pick at all. I honestly think I can really see Mary digging herself out of the hole she's in right now, especially using her relationship with Kevin. And she does seem very likable. So I do think she'll be able to mend fences with people. And yeah, I can see her getting pretty far in the game if she's able to dig herself out of this hole.
Yeah, I think it really just comes down to how she reacts coming back to camp. We saw her say, "What the F," when Steph got voted out. So if she goes back to camp and she's like really upset and cursing and, you know, putting people off, maybe that'll put a target on her back. But I don't think that's how she'll play it. And I think she'll be able to reintegrate. And if Say does become a bigger target because of the idol, that's maybe also a concern that she would be the one that bounces back onto. But you know, I do think she'll be able to integrate, and I think it could very well turn around on somebody else as well. Okay, so it's down to me for the last pick. The remaining two will go to the audience. This is so hard because I love all three of these people. I'm very tempted to pick Kyle because I just think he's such a solid guy. I think he, you know, was very smart to make a connection with Kyle in the Journey Challenge. He seems very likable just overall. So I want to pick Kyle, but I might leave Kyle for the audience to have somebody fun to root for. I was also a little concerned with how forceful he was in the challenge. That if he approaches the game too forcefully, maybe that will be an issue for him. So I'm going to leave Kyle off the table. The other two maybe didn't make the biggest impact in the episode, but I really liked what we got from both of them. Cedric cracked me up when he talked about his kids making fun of him for being a butt doctor. That's really the only thing that stuck out to me. But he seems very smart. He seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders, and he was able to help Say with the puzzle. Bianca, I'm also tempted to pick her just because I know from the preseason, her screen name was Survivor Freak. And as a Survivor fan, I feel like, how do I not honor that screen name? Because I'm just as big of a Survivor Freak. So Bianca girl, I see you. This is so tough, but I just think I have a lot of purple on my group already. I think I'm going to go with Cedric. I think he's a sneaky choice, and I think he's going to be able to really get people on his side. He's very funny. We heard from him just kind of sprinkled throughout the episode, but he definitely had a presence, and I'm excited to learn more about Cedric. I don't know too much about him, but yeah, I think that's going to be my choice, although I love Bianca and Kyle as well. But I think I'm going to leave those two for the audience.
I like that choice. I think he's really well-rounded, and I think he is a very smart player. Maybe under the radar a bit, that's a good thing, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even last season, Rachel was pretty under the radar to start. She didn't get a confessional until, like, not midway through, but maybe a quarter of the way through the episode. And obviously her story revolved around Andy for especially the beginning of the game. But, you know, I don't think it's impossible for somebody to be a little bit under the radar and then have, you know, a huge coming out party later on. Even Genevieve last season went three episodes with basically no content and then became somebody who is one of the biggest threats to win in the end game and somebody who really just stuck out as a total superstar from last season to the point where people want to see her on Survivor 50. I certainly do. I met her in person. She's just as charming and she really just has that like Parvati charm around her. Just she's beautiful. There's just so much about Genevieve that was so great. So I do think that these players that are a little bit quieter at the start, it might be because they have a lot more to give later on in the season. So I'm going to go with Cedric.
I also would have chosen Cedric out of the three that you had. Because I think we've seen, as far as this first episode, a more like, from Joe, a more like father figure, like approach towards his tribe, like, and towards his individual relationships. And I wonder if Cedric will take that approach as well as a father. Because, you know, it's with older and younger people, I feel like that seems to be a trend, is like looking to someone as your mother, as your father out here. Like, if he's able to play that card, I think it can go really well for him. I think we didn't get to see enough from him this episode, so I do hope to see more for sure. But yeah, I think that sums up the draft.
Yep. Great choices. Be interesting to see where this goes. We'll have to check in every week. I did also want to just touch on the fact that Survivor 50 is coming up, and we heard Jeff give a little promotional during the episode where he said to scan the code, to go to the website, and go ahead and submit your votes for how you want Survivor 50 to be structured. And I wanted to talk through what your choices would be. So there's four categories to vote on. One was for the tribe colors. I wish I had a graphic with those colors pulled up. Do not. But some interesting color choices. It did seem to be more of like greens and oranges and blues, kind of similar to what we've normally seen, but maybe just shaken up a little bit. But then the other three categories, I think, are going to be very important to how season 50 plays out. And so I just wanted to see what your thoughts were and how you think you would vote. So let me see if I can pull these up here, actually.
I have it on my phone, at least for reference, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to get it onto this screen. But
So the vote for the tribe colors is option A, blue, orange, and green, option B, orange, teal, and purple, or option C, green, orange, kind of a reddish orange, and yellow. I don't have a strong opinion on the colors. Do you guys think any of these colors stand out versus the others?
I really like teal. That's like one of my favorite colors. So that's the one I instantly picked when I saw that.
Yeah, I like that color pattern too. The orange, teal, purple.
I love a good that's yellow the tribe. Personally,
yellow tribe.
So I think do we know what the smaller colors is? This like just for a point of reference, you think? But there are like, if you see,
I think, yeah, I think that's like these, like, I don't even know what to call them, but like there's like a sub color on each tribe. Like even on the buff you're wearing, it's like green with like a red pattern.
I see.
So I think it's just like the accent colors around it.
Then yeah, I'm not so passionate about the colors, but I do love a good yellow tribe, so that's probably where I'm leaning.
Yeah, that was how I felt too, just with the teal.
Yeah, well, let's talk about these other categories. So the second one is rice or no rice. It says camp life. Do you want to make it a bit easier on the tribes and let them start with a supply of rice, or do you want them to earn their rice through effort or sacrifice? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, I'm a bit diabolical, so I was like, okay, I want to make it hard for them. So I voted for no rice. I thought they should earn rice.
Yeah. I disagree with you on that one. I don't think I voted. I don't know if there was a deadline, but if I were to choose between
next week, next episode.
Yeah, I would definitely choose give them rice. And I think that, you know, with a full stomach, players can play to like their full potential. They can think more clearly, maybe strategize better. I don't know if I like the starvation that we see during the new era. I like, you know, them to be able to play to their full potential. So, but
I definitely hear you on that point. That crossed my mind as well, that getting rice will mean that they're more like their minds will work a little better, and it might give us better TV if they can actually think through strategy. But I also I kind of lean towards what Andy said, because I think it's season 50, it's Survivor. It is known for being very difficult. And so why not make it as difficult as possible? Like, I think strip them of the rice, strip them of the flint and the pot and the machete, strip them of the sand on the beach, like take it all away and make them play in the mud the whole time. I think it should be hard for Survivor 50. I don't think they should get anything for free. So I kind of lean towards taking the rice from them.
See, you get me, Will. You get me.
Okay. Well, I'm
diabolical, as just as you are. So.
We can agree to disagree on that one.
Yeah. So the third category, this is very interesting, especially the way that they phrase this. They have us voting on the Final Four Fire Making Challenge. They say, okay, let's get into some gameplay. The Final Four Fire Making Showdown has delivered some of the most dramatic moments in Survivor history, but not every fan is on board. Where do you stand? And option A says, keep it. It gives players control of their destiny. Option B says, lose it. Let them vote someone out, just like the early seasons. This is very interesting to me, because I definitely think the way that they phrase this is very heavy-handed. They clearly love the Fire Challenge, or at least Jeff does. He wants to see the Fire Challenge. He wants to get that epic moment. I see both sides on this issue. I actually don't have a strong opinion, because I've enjoyed the Fire Challenge as it is. But I also am somebody that's nostalgic at heart. And I do think that if you've watched anything from Australian Survivor, that has shown that there is so much potential for the Final Four vote to be totally off the wall and crazy. So I'm certainly going to be choosing to remove the Fire Making Challenge, just because I'm a little tired of it from the last however many seasons it's been, 12 seasons.
I was thinking the same thing about the wording. I'm like, should I pick this one? It sounds like that one's the better choice. But honestly, I'm on board with what you're saying, too. I really would like the vote to return, especially since like they're so adamant on it being a fire making challenge. It makes me think like seasons after, they're not going to give us this opportunity again for it to be a vote. So I feel like I have to vote that they vote at the Final Four.
I fear I disagree with the two of you again.
Really? No, this is good. I'm glad we disagree. It's good to get all the perspectives.
Yeah. So for me, the wording didn't change my mind. I feel like, or maybe it did. But thinking about it, if I was in the Final Four and I'm the big threat to win and I just like lose my shot at immunity, I would be so devastated that I had no control over what happened, and to just be voted out right before the end. I feel like that's the worst vote out, the most devastating one. And so it gets a bit old, but I think I like the idea of having the game in your own hands and being able to fight for your spot at the end, for sure. And it's not like, I think the fact that it is been the same, people know before coming on Survivor to practice fire making, so it's your fault if you can't make fire at the final four.
Mary didn't even practice, so she said, and she started it immediately. She said it might have been beginner's luck, but she did a great job.
Yeah, well, I just believe in the chance to fight for your own destiny in the game, especially at the final four when you're just so close to the end. But I see your points as well, as like to change it up and make it a vote.
I think it'll be fun to change it up, because if they want to bring it back, they always can. I do think you're making some really good points. I think it helps to give the players the chance to get one last push to win. The thing that I dislike about it is when it impacts what the jury decides. I don't know how much that really has played into past votes at the final tribal council, but at least with 43, it seemed like something that was an issue, that Cassidy didn't step in to make the fire. We saw in Winners at War that Natalie didn't choose to make the fire against Tony. And so that was a reason that at least Boston Rob gave as to why he didn't vote for her to win. Obviously, there's lots of different circumstances surrounding every season. And we've seen even the biggest threats to win still go out at the final four, like a Jesse or Rick Devens, but mm-hmm. at least they had the chance. Whereas if it was a normal vote, they would have just been voted out. So it's really tough. I definitely see the merit to both sides, but yeah, I definitely agree again with Andy on this, that might as well change it up and, you know, let people vote themselves out the old fashioned way.
Yeah. I mean, I love the fire making challenge in itself. I just thought like this opportunity might not come again. And that's the only reason I want to vote that way.
Yep. And okay. The last question to vote for is, I think this is one we'll all be in agreement on, but they want us to vote between revealing the final tribal votes in Los Angeles or in Fiji. So looking ahead, should we bring back the live finale and reunion show in Los Angeles, or keep the winner reveal and after show in the jungles of Fiji?
Ollie's going to try to be different on this one.
Yeah, he is a little bit contrarian, but yeah, what do you think, Andy? Do you think that it should be in Fiji or in Los Angeles?
The only aspect of it that I, of the way they do it in the new era, is that it's fresh compared to the live reunion show. But honestly, the live reunion shows are iconic. I wish they would bring it back. So that's the way I'm going to be voting.
Yep, I agree with you again. I love the reunion shows. It's just like there's so many iconic moments from reunion shows past. It's just like it's after they've seen themselves on TV and seen the story play out, seen the fan reaction. I think being able to get their opinions after the fact is what's really valuable about having a reunion. That's just different from it being revealed in Fiji the night that it happens. And it's still so raw. So I get why they like that Fiji reunion, and it made sense with COVID when they introduced it. But I just want them to go back to the live finale. I just think it's so much fun. It just brings out this extra hype about the season. And the people that lose have had enough time to kind of decompress and, you know, internalize the fact that they probably lost the game. So, you know, these juries reveal to each other what they voted by the end of the night anyways. So what does it matter if they reveal it in Fiji versus in Los Angeles? Like, or I don't know, it would be fun to... It would be good if they would reveal the votes to the group in Fiji, but then still just have the live reunion in Los Angeles. But I don't know. Maybe they don't want people to like leak it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I fear. No. No, I agree with you guys on this one. I think with such a big season 50, like, returning players, it's all going to be huge. I think it deserves a huge finale as well. I think, you know, maybe not tell them before the live reunion, because you want like a raw reaction to winning, you know, like they've had in the past, especially if it's like tight and you're not sure. But yeah, you're right. The players and jury would probably find out somehow.
I think they get
to each other.
Yeah.
Before it, but no, I'm definitely in favor of a best moments, questioning the players about crazy things from the season.
Jeff has had some wild comments over the years as well. We don't even have to talk about the Survivor China reunion show.
Oh, no, yeah, I know what you're referring to, and no, I'm definitely in favor of a big finale for the big season.
And the audience is there. Like, it's so much fun. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, it is. excuse me. This is something that we can definitely keep circling back to as the season goes along. I think there's going to be more things that we're going to be able to vote on. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what else they let us choose. But it's very exciting and definitely making me hype for next year at this time when we're going to be seeing Survivor 50 on the screen. But we got 48 and 49 to go first. So stick with that for now. Okay, I think that about wraps it up. That's pretty much everything we wanted to cover, coming in right under the hour and a half mark. So maybe three times longer than we were planning to talk for tonight, but that's okay. We went on a roll. So like I said at the opening, we really appreciate your support. We really hope you like the podcast, and we appreciate any grace you can give us as we work through some of the challenges to start. This is brand new for all of us. So we're just figuring things out, and we want everybody watching to be a part of this as well. So please, again, join the Discord server. In the link will be in the description. So please go ahead and join us, and we'll be glad to welcome you into the Survivor fam. We will be back each Friday, hopefully, with a new podcast. And I'm trying to think if there was anything else I wanted to mention. Oh, I did want to say, like, if we wanted to do like a player of the week kind of thing, like we could each say who we thought played the best each week. Do we want to do that real quick?
We can do it quickly. I mean,
are we doing player of the week, like who played best, or who was our favorite?
Let's just pick our favorites from each week. Okay, so I'll start. Oh no, you go ahead.
Okay, I'll start. I'm gonna pick Eva. Like I've said before, I thought Eva was just so likable in this first episode. She got plenty of screen time. We got to see her story. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Eva as well. She definitely was my favorite.
I am going to pick Eva's other half, Joe. I think he had just a great character moment and, like, such a heartwarming, like, moment between the two of them, and I think he is someone who's gonna stay like that throughout the season and just like be that father figure for people and someone, a rock to lean on. And so I appreciated the character development from him this episode for sure.
You're still a contrarian, but we're on the same page, basically.
Yes, basically, yeah. We're all pretty similar with our choices. So, okay, yeah, that was just something I thought we could do each week, just pick our favorite players. So, yeah, open to any suggestions from the audience. If there's anything you want us to talk about, we can take some questions from the Discord server as well if we get some momentum there. So I did want to call out that the Survivor Fan channel is about less than 80 subscribers away from 30,000. So please, if you're watching this video up to this point, please like, subscribe, and share this video. Please leave a comment with your thoughts. Please join the Discord server. We want to hear from you. We want to build a community up. And we're very open to any feedback that you guys have. So thank you everybody for watching. This is so much fun. We're so much looking forward to a great podcast series for Survivor 48. And we will see you out on the island next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.